We need to get doctors and nurses and hospitals and other health professionals on an escalator. We need to get them on the first step, and then we'll take them up gradually to more and more complicated and beneficial uses of these technologies.
You'll find a place where everyone is on that escalator, about 150 miles from the nation's capital in Danville, Pennsylvania, the home of the Geisinger Health System.
We're interested in understanding the needs of patients and their caregivers so that everybody has the information they need to take the best care of the patient wherever they are, whatever time it is.
Dr. James Walker is the Chief Health Information Officer at Geisinger.
Our effort is designed to use health IT as an essential tool, in the same way a telephone's an essential tool. But this is all about improving the care the patients receive and using IT to support that.
So if you stroll through the halls of the main hospital, you'll see doctors and nurses putting all kinds of tech tools to good use. It's the kind of technology that patients like Jennifer Dreisbaugh have come to expect from Geisinger.
The best part about Geisinger, and the thing that really makes it stand out, is the fact that it's so electronically plugged in. So it just ties everything together, and it makes for better healthcare, more efficient healthcare.
It is efficient healthcare for about 2.5 million people in this part of Pennsylvania. It's an aging population with a lot of special needs.
This community, these counties, are more rural, poorer, less well-educated, and sicker than national averages. From my standpoint, that presents an opportunity.
An opportunity to innovate. For instance, they've come up with a unique way of taking better care of the most seriously ill patients.
This room is called the core, and it's the clinical operations room.
It's also the nerve center of an electronic ICU, staffed by critical care specialists who remotely monitor dozens of patients around the clock.
They're looking at vital sign information, they're looking at lab results, they're looking at the patients before hopefully something does occur.
That depends on experts like Shonda Ronk, who instead of being by a patient's bedside, now sit in front of a bank of TV monitors wearing a headset.
It was very different for me when I first came over, but it's a whole new avenue of patient care that we're just starting to develop.
Ronk and her colleagues are connected to each and every room in the hospital's ICU, as Dr. Kenneth Wood demonstrates.
So whenever we need to activate the tele-ICU, we push this button. And as you can see, this activates the camera that's on a pivot, and that precipitates the camera swiveling, and we're able to actually then have a conversation with a tele-ICU physician or a critical care nurse. Telemedicine is really the backbone of tele-ICU, so it's the capacity to monitor patients with two sets of eyes.
We're watching, you know, relatively high number of patients, and we're providing care to all of them. We're really a backup system for the bedside, so when they need any type of assistance, we're always here to help them.
And if you think being in another room impedes their powers of observation, think again.
We have a patient in the room, and we're going to zoom in and look at the quality of the camera.
Nurses can zoom in close enough to clearly see a patient's pupils or to inspect an IV pump to make sure the person's getting the right medicine in the right dose.
If we see something that looks different from what the order states, we call the bedside nurse and have a conversation with them, you know, to ensure that neither of us missed something.
There is a shortage of trained intensive care specialists, but no short supply of critically ill patients. The eICU is meant to address that imbalance.
So to be able to provide the benefits of an intensivist at the bedside, what we've done is leverage the small number of people going into critical care by exploiting the technology.
Over in the rheumatology department, there's another novel approach to taking care of patients.
From a quality perspective, we need to collect the right information about the right patient at the right time.
But as Dr. Eric Newman will attest, it's hard to collect all the information he needs during a short exam.
It's common for things to perhaps be missed if the patient doesn't mention something or I don't ask them about something.
But now, after patients check in, they go to a workstation and fill out a touchscreen questionnaire. They answer a host of questions that generate valuable information about how they're feeling and how their treatments are working.
I can deliver a much more patient-centric care, and it's the patient's agenda, not my agenda. The analogy I would give, it's like starting my clinic visit at 30 miles an hour instead of at zero.
The system software gathers and assembles the data and makes it instantly available so that doctors already know how a patient's doing before they even see them. Christine Martin Anderson thinks it's like getting inside a patient's psyche.
They're using technology in order to pull that information out of the patient, because I think some research has shown that patients are more likely to tell the truth to a technology than they will to a human face.
It's the kind of refinement that has made Geisinger an example of what our healthcare system could look like in the future.
Geisinger, Kaiser Permanente, these are jewels in our healthcare delivery system, to be sure, but they're not available in every corner.
And so, in many ways, health IT is also about improving access to care. In some cases, that's giving a whole new meaning to the concept of making a house call.
Connecting people in their home with their providers is a very promising way of maintaining their health.
It's called remote monitoring, and it involves doctors caring for patients from a distance.
We used to wait for patients to get a lot sicker and come in to see us. This is a way of kind of keeping everything in control 24/7.
Despite a history of serious heart trouble, 82-year-old George Ruboy is living proof it works.
I'm feeling great, fantastic.
In fact, even after 60 years of practicing law, Ruboy still works at least 20 hours a week.
I enjoy what I'm doing. I take care of people. I take care of their problems.
George is recovering from congestive heart failure, a chronic, life-threatening problem that he needs to keep on top of by eating right, staying on his medications, and exercising.
I normally walk for a half hour. That's what my cardiologist instructed me to do. I know enough about my heart to avoid overdoing it.
Over the years, George has spent a lot of time in the hospital, but not anymore. These days, he's able to keep his condition under control and stay at home, thanks to an innovative remote monitoring program.
Patients really, really appreciate the convenience of being in these programs. It's patient-centric.
Dr. Joe Kavidar runs the Center for Connected Health, a unique healthcare agency based in Boston. Their mission, to care for people at home through the use of information technology.
Connected health is about care where the patient is when the patient needs it. It allows them to improve their own care, and it allows them to be cared for in the moment when they most need it.
To accomplish that, cardiac patients like George are sent home from the hospital with some easy-to-use health monitoring tools.
Everything, every day, I'm monitored. And every day, when I get up in the morning, I take my vital signs.
That involves first stepping onto a digital scale to capture his weight, and then rolling up his sleeve to check his blood pressure and heart rate. There's also a little oxygen gauge.
Please rate your symptoms from 0 to 5.
Then George fills out a quick electronic questionnaire to complete his daily health picture.
Swollen belly. Cough.
The data is sent wirelessly to a telemonitoring office north of Boston, where it is reviewed by a registered nurse.
Now the patient has that comfort level. They have that security right in their own home of being monitored.
Karen Federico is on the lookout for the warning signs and symptoms of heart failure.
Hi, Mr. Ruboy. It's Karen from Telemonitor. Hi, how are you today?
For people with congestive heart failure, fluid retention can be fatal. So Federico watches closely for any sudden weight gain, which means the data George sends every day is much more than just a set of numbers.
But it looks like your weight went up 2.2 pounds in one day.
Daily updates are a really powerful thing. Of course, they're only data. It's really what we do to educate him about those data and how to change his life.
You're okay. So it was just because you ate before you sent that weight in.
Federico urges her patients to stick to their low-sodium diet, and she can tell if someone has strayed.
They usually end up confessing because we have the data. We know what their weight is. We know if their glucose goes up also. We know that they've gotten into something.
I had it without cheese, without salt, without gravy.
George likes to joke that the nurses are like drill sergeants. But he knows their vigilance coupled with his discipline is what's keeping him alive.
All right, thank you, Mr. Ruboy. It's nice talking to you.
They're now learning what they have to do to live. So it empowers them to take care of themselves.
Dr. Blumenthal thinks this type of remote monitoring has massive potential.
Having the ability of a professional to look over the shoulder of the patient while they're at home and kind of give them some coaching about how to make their care better, their health better, that makes enormous sense.
The Center for Connected Health is also helping people with diabetes, hypertension, and other chronic conditions, proving that to keep people well and out of the hospital, they don't necessarily need to be in the same room as their healthcare providers.
The patients all feel more connected because it's a lifeline for them.
As for George, that lifeline means he can go out for a walk, work out at the gym, or brush up on his law instead of lying in a hospital bed.
I've been most fortunate. I think it's wonderful. I'm treated by a medical staff to keep this body going.